Blog Talk Radio.
Coming live, a show-stopping, red carpet-walking, elegant award show, September 29th, to a Metro Detroit theater, is the hottest award show of the year. It's the first annual Spoken Word Billboard Awards, celebrating the Hot 100 ranking artists from across the globe, in the elegant facility of the Village Theater, in Canton, Michigan, featuring performances by R&B sensation, Laurie Edwards, hip-hop phenomenon, Zach One, soul singer, Stephen Guy White, spoken word artist, Romeo Donati, romantic blues musician Elvin Lloyd Horn, poet Jamie McConnell, vocalist Alfreda Castello, poet Dom Touch Artist Register, spoken word artist Jazzy Sadilk, and so many more. Be prepared for sheer entertainment that will touch every possible human emotion in your body, making you thirsty and already anticipating the next year's event. Tickets are $25 and are available through the Village Theater box office. Call 734-394-5300 to reserve your ticket today.
Good evening. I'm Laurie Coburn, and this is Breaking Free with psychotherapist Laurie Coburn. Tonight we're going to be talking about miracle healings in A Course in Miracles thought system. There's actually some controversy among Course in Miracles students about whether or not we are meant to heal the body. So what we're going to talk about tonight are the two sides of the coin. And feel free to call in with your questions or your comments at 917-932-8881. I'd like to mention that my website is www.lauriecoburn.com, where you can also write in and ask me questions under the Ask Laurie section. That's Laurie, L-O-R-R-I, Coburn, C-O-B-U-R-N.com. I'd like to first go over what the two sides of the coin are. The people that say, yes, we are meant to heal the body. Others that say, no, we are not meant to heal the body. And I'll give an overview of that. And as callers call in, we'll take their calls. And otherwise, we'll just go on with Course in Miracles quotations. The side that says, no, we're not supposed to go about healing the body, takes the framework that this world is an illusion. It's all a dream, including all the bodies that are walking around in it. This point of view says the miracle in A Course in Miracles is that we wake up and we know that we're dreaming this dream. We wake up and we know that there are no such things as bodies. In fact, there's a line in the Course that states, at no single instant does the body exist at all. So this view says, well, if the body doesn't exist at all, then it doesn't matter if the body's healed. The miracle is for you to recognize that you are spirit and that a healed body or a seemingly sick body are equal illusions. And there are actually quotes in A Course in Miracles that would support that. There's a lesson 140, which says only salvation can be said to cure, and it talks about when some people's bodies are healed, that all that's happened is that they had a dream that they were sick, and now they're having a dream that they're well. However, the other side would say, but the miracle can represent a healed body because in A Course in Miracles it tells us the body is not outside of you. You're not the body. You're not in the world. The world and the body are outside of your mind. All healing comes from your mind. And when your mind is healed and is no longer in fear and chooses love as its teacher, then what is projected outward also must reflect healing. So when Lesson 140 says only salvation can be said to cure, if the person's mind was healed and they realized, oh my gosh, I am one with God. I cannot possibly be sick. How could I have ever projected out that I'm this helpless, vulnerable body out there that has to ward off and defend against all the attacks from the world. Sickness, war, disease, poverty, all these things out there that can come and get me. Oh my gosh, I am spirit. I'm not separated from God. This group that says, yes, the body will heal, says that when your mind is healed like that, the outpicturing must be the same. Now, the first group that says, no, this is all an illusion, will say, in pure non-duality, which we will call the Course's absolute reality, heaven, only God exists. There's no such thing as something else. So if only God exists, then that's our goal. Our goal is not to have a healthy body. And in fact, if you get this miracle healing of the body, that's just going to keep you stuck in the illusion, because you'll think that that's who you are, and you'll be wanting to manifest something else really cool and another thing really cool. And so don't ask for the body to be healed. There is a line like that in, I think it's chapter 9, where it says, or maybe chapter 8, section 8, where the Course says, don't ask the Holy Spirit to heal your symptoms. Rather, ask the Holy Spirit to heal your mind. So it says a sick body does not need to be healed, but the mind that thinks it's sick, the mind that thinks it's a body, needs healing indeed. So this camp will say, look, Ramana Maharshi had cancer, Nisargadatta Maharaj had cancer, Lester Levinson, who created the Sedona method, had cancer. What about them? You could also answer that with saying, well, maybe it was their time to go, and that was just the method that the body dissolved here at this level. You could also say that they may have had cancer because it was a teaching lesson for their students to show they knew they weren't their bodies. So even though the body was riddled with cancer, they were not suffering. Lester Levinson, in fact, had cancer a couple times. First time, it went away completely. Second time, he decided to drop the body, and he did not suffer at all, because the Course says a guiltless mind cannot suffer. Lester Levinson knew he was his mind. He knew he was not his body, and while his body disintegrated from this cancer, he did not have physical pain, and he was fine, because I know the guy who took care of him, Hale Dwoskin, who runs the Sedona Method Corporation. So there's both sides of the coin. What do you think? I think this is, it's, there's no right or wrong, because you can actually find arguments on both sides, and actually a belief about it on either side is an equal illusion. In this world, we have duality. We have positive and we have negative. So if you believe, oh yes, it's important that we heal the body, that's just a belief. And I heard a thing the other day that said, belief systems, BS. It's like, oh, belief system, okay, BS equals belief system. If you believe the other side of the pole, no, we shouldn't even make any concern whatsoever about the body. You know, it doesn't mean anything. You can have a broken leg, but it's about having peace of mind. The whole thing about A Course in Miracles is the miracle of the peace of mind, the experience of peace while you seem to be in this illusion. Because the Course says you are not here. You are spirit outside of time and space. You're not even here. So how can you be sick? So what do you think? I see a couple callers kind of waiting, but sometimes people get shy about signing up to ask a question. So please go ahead and ask questions if you want to. But it's okay if you don't want to as well. One of the things that brought me to this discussion was an illness in my own life where I had always been on the track of the pure non-dualist teachings of A Course in Miracles, which is, again, God is, nothing else exists. So it never, ever matters what happens in the illusion. The only thing that matters is that you know God is, I am, God is, love is, that's it, and that's your peace of mind. Well, something that happened to me, and I still agree with that, by the way. I still do this non-dualistic teaching, but I've also come across three other non-dualistic teachers that are also saying, no, it's okay to heal the body now, just like I am. So when I ran across this blog by Nook Sanchez, that's S-A-N-C-H-E-Z, Nook, N-O-U-K, she's coming out with a new book later on called The End of Death, and I read this blog of hers that was really, really good. And it was, she said for the first 20 years of her teaching A Course in Miracles, she took that pure non-dualistic approach of it never, ever matters if the body gets healed or not. Then she wrote this blog with all kinds of quotes supporting the idea that the body actually should represent a healed mind. And so I wanted to go over some of those quotes with you. And I'd like to mention her website is http://undoing-the-ego.org/Nook, N-O-U-K, blog, B-L-O-G, /. That's Nook Sanchez, Undoing the Ego. So what she had said was she used to think, oh, physical healing doesn't matter. And in fact, her partner who wrote the book, Undoing the Ego, I forget the name of it, Take Me to Truth, that's her book, Tomas Vieira, actually dropped his body about 2 years ago. And it's been since he's been gone that her thinking about all of this has actually changed. And she says that Tomas, from the other side, is really helping her understand this a lot better. And so some of the quotes she uses in this article that you can find online resonate with things that have been going on with me. And so she has healed herself now of osteoporosis. She had it for 17 years. It was supposedly incurable. And she also had to take a lot of calcium to prevent it from going, you know, from deteriorating further. And she doesn't have to do that anymore. And she previously had just thought she had to live with this, and then, of course, since the body doesn't mean anything, then I guess, oh, I'll just live with this. And what I've come to understand through my own stuff is that I was using, oh, the body doesn't matter, as a defense against God's love. And also a defense, like I thought I would fail. If I asked for a miracle, I thought I wouldn't get it. I thought I wasn't worthy of it. I thought that, oh, well, that might be all well and good for those people who can get up out of their wheelchairs and walk, but I'll never get a miracle like that. But that was hiding it. When I was saying, oh, you don't need to do anything with the body, it doesn't matter what the body appears to be like, I was defending against God's love. I was feeling unworthy. And A Course in Miracles tells us that deep down we feel like we're absolute dog poo. We feel so unworthy. We feel we are so black. And that's subconscious a lot. It's not conscious for all of us. So it wasn't until I got diagnosed with this particular illness that all of this stuff came up to the surface for me to see. So I'm actually grateful for this diagnosis, which I don't believe because I didn't go to a doctor for a long time saying, doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what the illness they say it is anyway, because I know there's no order of difficulty in miracles. A cold, multiple sclerosis, cancer, they're all the same thing. A paper cut, a skinned knee. They're all the same thing because in A Course in Miracles, it says there are no order of difficulties in miracles. Because why? Because it's all the illusion. So one illusion's the same as other. Only we on earth say that the chronic, serious heart disease and lupus and Lou Gehrig's disease and all those things, those are the bad things and they are incurable. So Nook got healed of incurable osteoporosis. She doesn't even have it anymore. And so I started investigating this. When I got this diagnosis, all this rage came up at God. Like, why didn't you tell me to go to the doctor sooner? And I thought I asked you for guidance, and I've been asking for a miracle, and you haven't given it to me, and blah, blah, blah. So all this rage came up, and then what happened is I realized I didn't feel worthy of a miracle. I thought when I got this diagnosis that that meant I would have to go undergo really invasive, awful treatment. And I happen to have a real resentment over the Western medical system. I don't care for it that much. I think, in general, Western medicine takes a sledgehammer to an ant, and I prefer to use the alternative methods. And my family, when I was a little, even in the 1960s, before holistic medicine was popular in the last decade or so, my parents didn't have me get vaccines. I was raised on vitamin C. I was raised with a chiropractor. We didn't even have a doctor, a regular medical doctor. So that's instilled in me from way back. So one of the things that came up was, God is a boogeyman. I'm not going to get a miracle healing because God wants me to have to undergo really invasive, awful stuff, because you know what? It serves you right, Lori. It serves you right. You think you're so smart. You think you can do this natural medicine. You think that you can get away with going around the system. Well, ha, we've got you. And what was coming up for me was that previously when I said, oh, you know, the body doesn't matter, was that that was hiding this deep, deep self-hatred and how I was projecting that onto the medical system, projecting it onto God, and projecting it onto my own body. So it wasn't about the illness. It truly is not about the illness. So there, that's where we get to where the pure non-duality is true. This is not about my body being sick or well. This is about my mind thinking that I don't deserve love. I don't deserve love. I don't deserve a miracle. Lesson 77 in A Course in Miracles says, I am entitled to miracles. So I started saying that over and over and again. And what would come up was, no, you're not. That's just for other people. Nope, you're a piece of crap. You should have to undergo this. And I kept deep down feeling like, I'm going to say all these words and it's not going to work, and I'm going to end up having this horrible Western medicine treatment and I don't want it, but it's all I deserve. And so then I started reading this wonderful book, Gorgeous for God by Lisa Natoli, and I started doing what she said, because she said, she talked about the miracle principle that says miracles are everyone's right, but purification is necessary first. And what that means is purification is necessary. Not that we have to be pure, not that we have to be perfect and perfectly affirm and perfectly visualize so that we get the miracle. The purification is getting rid of those false beliefs, forgiving those false beliefs that you are separate from love. There's no God out there. God is love. God is me. I am that Spirit, and I have turned on myself. I have attacked myself and projected it onto this body to prove that I suck. And that's what sickness does. She also quoted this line in the Course that says, when you do not value yourself, you get sick. So all this lack of self-value started coming up. So what happens is the ego's purpose for the body is to make us feel sick, to make us feel separate, to make us feel depressed, alone, separated in this world, cut off from God, cut off from love. The Holy Spirit's purpose, the miracle, the right mind, is to let us know, you know what? You're innocent. That never happened. You never did anything wrong. You are love. You are loved. And you are held in love. And that's where the miracle happens. It happens in the mind when you can embrace that and know that as your true identity, your being. That's the purification that is necessary first. And once we accept the atonement for ourselves, once we accept that we are deserving and worthy, then the miracle happens and it's reflected in the body. The other thing that Lisa brought up that challenged my thoughts about the body being healed was this. It's in chapter 8, section 8, and it says, a sick body does not make any sense. It could not make sense because sickness is not what the body is for. Sickness is meaningful only if the two basic premises on which the ego's interpretation of the body rests are true, that the body is for attack and that you are a body. Without these premises, sickness is inconceivable. That is paragraph 5 in section 8, I mean chapter 8, section 8. And paragraph 9 in the same section says, do not allow the body to be a mirror of a split mind. Do not let it be an image of your own perception of littleness. Do not let it reflect your decision to attack. Health is seen as the natural state of everything when interpretation is left to the Holy Spirit. So it's interesting. I was talking to a friend of mine who is also a pure non-dualistic course student who always says, okay, the body's nothing, it never matters. And I said, oh, in Lisa's book it said, a sick body does not make any sense. Do not let the body be a reflection, a mirror of the split mind. Again, the split mind being hatred versus love or fear versus love, and we all have a split mind. We have the ego mind that's full of fear, and we have the right mind, the Holy Spirit mind, that's love and knows our connection to Source. So as soon as I started reading these quotes, he goes, ah, yeah, that's baloney, that's crap. And I said, those are direct Course quotes. That's not just what she's saying. And he backpedaled a little bit because he didn't know they were there either. And I didn't either. And I would have taken them to mean, oh, but it doesn't really mean the body per se, since the Course says the body, at no single instant does the body exist at all. But the Course is written on two levels. It's written on the pure non-dualistic level. God is, heaven is, love is, the only absolute reality is God. And then it's written on the form level. Like these verses are addressing form, bodies, space and time. And so it is saying, look, don't let the body be used for attack. Don't kid yourself. If your body is sick, you are attacking yourself. Now, in truth, we cannot be attacked. So the pure non-dualistic students will say, well, we're not bodies anyway, so we can't be attacked. So it doesn't matter if our body looks broken. But then another friend of mine said this to me last November. Actually, it was an acquaintance, and she came up to me and she said this, and it started me thinking differently. She said, look, she argues with a lot of Course in Miracles students, and she says, look, guys, the title of the book, A Course in Miracles, miracles, tangible, practical miracles. This is not just an esoteric course about waking up. This is about practical miracles while we think we're here on earth. And she said, all these people that say, okay, say if you have a broken leg, but it doesn't really matter because you can't have a broken leg because the body's not real. So, oh, I'll just be at peace while my leg is broken. She said, that's a bunch of baloney. If you even say, I have a broken leg, then you are not seeing wholeness. You're right there, you're calling it broken. A mind that is whole and complete has to push forth, bring forth like its own kind. Pure love, pure wholeness can only then reach out and give wholeness and love. And hobbling around on a broken leg while we appear to be here is not loving. It hurts. It impedes us. It's not cool. And so what came to me is that I had a situation a couple years ago where I thought I was supposed to exit the body. I got a very strong premonition that I was supposed to leave the body real soon, like within a few weeks. So I got all my affairs in order, and I was so happy. Oh, my God, I was the happiest I think I've ever been in my whole life. I was so peaceful. I wanted nothing more than to just drop this body, and I didn't know if it was going to be a car accident, an aneurysm, a heart attack, or something. But it was just like, oh, thank you, God, you're bringing me home. I am so happy. So I am not afraid to die. I'm not afraid to drop this body. But what happened instead is I almost got in a car accident that should have killed me, and it was like 1 second beyond, and I was so angry when I realized I was still in a body that I swore at God up and down, and then I said, you darn well better tell me why I'm still here, because I don't get it. I don't want to be here. I know I'm spirit. Why am I still in a body? I don't believe in suicide, even though I feel like I wish I could do that, but I don't believe in it. So I turned the course at random and said, God, you show me. Show me why I am here. And, of course, I was talking to God as if God is something out there, but God is not out there. God is my own higher mind. And I turned to lesson 191. I am the Holy Son of God himself. And it said, if you don't admit your true identity, it says deny your true identity, which is the Holy Son of God, and you will be left with hopelessness and despair and hatred and evil and nothing but the wish to die. So I realized I'm not done here yet in this world. I am not done here. I'm here for a reason. I'm here to wake up. I'm here to claim my true identity as the Holy Son of God. And that's why that car accident didn't go through. And all that, I made up my own memorial service and I made everything, all these plans, like all stopped. It just stopped. All that energy that went toward that. And I realized, okay, you're not checking out yet. So that's why when I got this illness, it's like, I know I'm not supposed to check out yet. This illness that I have is not life-threatening, but it's a pain in the butt. It is a total pain in the butt. I don't like it. It's uncomfortable. It's painful. But Western medicine's answer to it is severe in my mind, and it feels like death to me. The way Western medicine would approach it would be with a sledgehammer, and I want to use nicer methods. But that's where that all this stuff that I was unaware of came up and said, you don't love yourself still. You still have not accepted your true identity as the Holy Son of God, because if you knew you were love, you would not have projected this illness, for one, and two, you would know that you deserve and are entitled to miracles. So now I am grateful to this illness that has been plaguing me for a number of years at a low level that just kind of started kicking up in the last couple months. I used to hate it. Now I'm grateful to it for bringing to the light all this darkness that I've been holding that I didn't realize. I mean, I knew it was there. I knew I had all this hatred and anger that I was projecting out. But now I feel like my back is up against the wall, and I feel that this is giving me the opportunity to heal it where the true healing lies, which is in my mind. One of the reasons I never went to the doctor is I said, I know what they're going to do. I know what they're going to want to do, and that's not what I want to do. That's their answer to everything. Take a sledgehammer. It's like, I don't care to do that. And I still don't care to do it. But getting that diagnosis and them saying, this is what we want to do to you. And I'm like, no, thank you. No, thank you. I think I'll love myself instead. Brought up all this hatred. And so I feel like my back is against the wall. I can either choose love or I can choose fear. And I've got to do it. I can submit to what I consider Western medicine's horrific, awful stuff, but then I'm not truly healed. I also knew that if I had gone to a doctor before, it's like, I'm just going to project this onto another part of my body or another part of my life. If I don't heal what's underneath this illness, all the hatred in my mind, it's just going to show up somewhere else. So I might as well not go to the doctor. That's why I didn't go. I had friends saying, you should go to the doctor for that. I'm like, yeah, I know that. I know that, but I know what they're going to do. It doesn't make sense to me. I know what true healing is. But I have not been able to receive it yet. And I'm still doing that daily, turning it over to the Holy Spirit for its purpose, turning all my hatred thoughts over to forgiveness and saying, I forgive myself for thinking I'm Lori, for thinking I'm this body, for thinking that I needed to project an icky illness. Ew, why did I do that to myself? I don't want to do that anymore. I'm choosing love. So I'm choosing love, choosing love, choosing love. So that's what made the shift for me from pure non-dualism into, like, you know what, it's okay for the body to be healed, because I don't want to just say this body, I can live with this. I can live with it. I've lived with it for years. but it's really interfering with my life. I don't like it. It's painful, and I don't have to live like that. So here, I wanted to read you a course quote from Nook's blog that supports this thing about healing of the body. And remind people, we have about 15 minutes, so if you do want to ask questions and you're on the call hold, I see several of you holding, just raise your hand and I'll pick up. Or if you want to call in, the number is 917-932-8881. And I'd like to remind you, you can always listen to this again from the archives on Blog Talk Radio, and I'll put this up on my website as well. www.lauriecoburn.com, Laurie, two R's, Coburn, C-O-B-U-R-N.com. Okay, here's this course quote, and it's from the psychotherapy pamphlet. There can be nothing that a change of mind cannot affect, for all external things are only shadows of a decision already made. Change the decision, and how can its shadow be unchanged? Illness can be but guilt's shadow, grotesque and ugly, since it mimics deformity. If a deformity is seen as real, what could its shadow be except deformed? Okay, so that quote, I see someone on hold and I'll be right with you. That quote says, look, if you're changing your mind, then the shadow that's out in the world, that projection, should also be changed. How can its shadow be unchanged? Okay, caller 734446. Hello.
Hello, how are you? It's
I'm
your
good,
friend
thank
Jim.
You. Oh, hi, Jim.
Hi. I've been listening, and thank you so much for your blog, your call-in tonight, and for your comments on that. And as usual, I had something to say, so
great.
I thought I'd go ahead. Is it okay?
Go ahead.
Well, we were together, I guess, Monday of this week when I did one of my Course in Miracles events. And we kind of broke some of this, but that you're talking about, but in a more generic form, the Course being a non-dualistic teaching, and as we awaken to the non-dualistic nature of reality, I think that's all fine, and I think that that awakening is exactly what's supposed to happen. But I guess to speak to this issue more generically, what is it that we are to do in the dream, even though we know we're dreaming? And we were talking, well, I agree that the Course says the body is nothing and never has been, and yet, to my reading of A Course in Miracles, it doesn't necessarily say the body doesn't matter. I think that the body serves a mighty purpose. As a matter of fact, when Jesus speaks of it in the Course, it says under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, it'll be turned into a communication device.
Right.
And so I would just offer, even though I understand that I'm dreaming, what am I to do while I'm apparently in the dream? And moreover, what am I to do with my brothers and sisters who are really me, but in the dream appear to be in separate states? Lesson 61 says, I am the light of the world. Well, to me, my take on it is, for me to be the light of the world, I have to operate in the world. If, whether it's me or one of my brothers and sisters, if someone says to me, hey, I'm hurting, I have cancer, I'm feeling really upset about this, etc. What am I to do? Tell them that, oh, it really doesn't matter because none of this is real? And how can I communicate that to someone who is ill-prepared to even accept the fact that the world isn't real? Perhaps they aren't where I am on my spiritual path. There's something in the Bible, but I don't know, I'll just kind of paraphrase. It's like if your little kid comes to you and the kid is hungry, and what do you, what if they're asking for food, what do you give them, a stick? What do you do? Tell them, oh, you don't really need to eat. That's your body. It's nothing. It doesn't matter. No, I think that what Jesus teaches both in the Bible and the Course is that you would give them food, or maybe more generically, you would always give them some form of love. And sometimes it's not loving to tell the whole direct truth to someone who isn't prepared to receive it. It just increases their fear. The other point I just wanted to make, you made a number of comments about Western medicine, and I understand where you're coming from on that, but my understanding of the Course is that the Holy Spirit can use all vehicles toward his purpose. And so whether it's Western medicine or Eastern medicine or whatever, that is an available vehicle for the Holy Spirit.
Right, I agree.
I think that the purpose of the body is to share the truth with other bodies. And I would just ask the question, how can we achieve the illusion of the real world that's described in the Course if we aren't helping each other to the awakening? A lot of times, if you just stand back and say, oh, the body isn't real, none of this really matters, that's not a help to people that aren't where you are on the spiritual path. And so as the light of the world, I think that my function here is to help people, as the Spirit would lead me, to move down that path and come to that understanding. But in the meantime, what do I do? If indeed I'm a perfect child of God and love is what I am, what would I be doing in the dream? I'd be doing something loving. So that's all I had to say.
Thank you, Jim. I agree, and I appreciate your comments. And with that, I am the light of the world. A Course in Miracles calls us to be miracle workers in the world. And here's another quote I want to say in Chapter 27, Section 2. A broken body shows the mind has not been healed. A miracle of healing proves that separation is without effect. And it says, this is another quote in Chapter 30. It must be true,
yes,
the miracle can heal all forms of sickness. That means even believing that we're bodies. Or it cannot heal. So if I'm the light of the world, as you mentioned, Lesson 61, and I'm called to be a miracle worker who first receives the miracle for himself, that's why going on this thing of my own illness, it's like, you know what?
Yes.
The Course is telling me I've got to receive it first because I can't give what I don't have.
And once you receive it, what is it you do with it? You share it.
Exactly.
You don't just stand back and don't participate and let everybody else go along with the appearance that they're suffering. You
right.
try and help them. And so to me, to stand back and be holier than thou because I know the truth, and to just spout the truth at you when you have no preparation to receive it is not loving.
Right, right. And I think the people with the pure non-duality would not say that you would say that to people who don't get pure non-duality, but they hold it, they'd say it to themselves among themselves. And I think it's actually a denial.
Exactly.
And it's a defense. It is a defense against the love of God, against the thought system, the ego thoughts. Like there's a line in Lesson 196, it's but myself I crucify, that says, the ego is quick to cite the truth to save its lies.
Yep.
And I think that's what I was doing. I was citing the truth to save my lies, to hold up my ego thought system that I was unworthy and not entitled to a miracle.
Yes. I think there's your opportunity. Your prayer is being answered in that the Holy Spirit will allow you to review your past thoughts and give you the opportunity to choose once again. If
there
you review
go.
Your past thoughts for the purpose of denial, then to me, that's the ego just playing you on the other side of the coin.
Right, Right. And I'd just like to say for our listeners, too, this is my friend Jim White. I didn't know it was him on the line. And Jim has a Love Communications organization, which he spreads the word of A Course in Miracles, and he runs study groups. It's lovecomm, C-O-M-M dot com or dot org? Or
yeah, L-O-V-E-C-O-M-M dot O-R-G, lovecomm dot org.
It's
yeah,
Jim's
thanks,
website.
Lori.
Yeah, sure. Because I respect Jim as a teacher and as a friend.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks for calling.
Absolutely. Thank
you. Bye.
Bye.
Okay, we have just 5 minutes left. So if there are some other people in the queue, if you want to ask a quick question, otherwise I'll continue to read some course quotes. And again, there's no right or wrong in this. Opinions, beliefs are just, they are just thoughts. They're just belief systems, one side of the coin or another. They're not truth. Absolute truth is God is, there is nothing else. So, okay, so just whatever works for you, the Holy Spirit will use any of those thoughts, particularly for you. For the longest time, I needed the idea that the body didn't matter in any way, shape, or form. I needed that idea because I hated the body so bad and wanted nothing more than to be out of the body and be out of here. But when that almost car accident happened, it was like, Lori, you're not in charge, not so fast here. So I don't know if Jim has another question. I'll just check this real quick. Or Jim, did you have another question?
No, I'm all done. I'm going to
okay,
leave you
I didn't
be.
Know.
You're doing good.
Okay, sometimes I see this little yellow thing that says question, and I don't know if it stays on after I talk to you or not. Okay, all right, thanks.
Okay, bye-bye.
Okay. There's a quote in the workbook under the section in the part two of the workbook, What is the Body? It says, now is the body holy. Now it serves to heal the mind that it was made to kill. And the whole thing about the body is the ego thought system. The whole point of the body in the ego's thought system is to make us feel like we're separate and that we can believe in death. Because what can we count on? Death and taxes. The body is going to disintegrate and die. But while we're not supposed to be completely out of here, out of this life, so like Tomas Vieira, who died of his I think it was throat cancer or a thyroid cancer or whatever. I just look at that as it was his time to go. He was supposed to then be teaching and working with Nook out of the body. So they continue to work together. It was just his time, and the cancer was his way to go. But if it's a chronic illness that you're not supposed to be out of here, you're not supposed to have it. You are not supposed to have it. You're not supposed to be hurting. You're not supposed to be suffering. But healing is not in the body. Healing is first in the mind that thinks it's a body. Here's another quote in chapter 13 in the introduction. God's son is not guilty. He deserves only love because he has given only love. I ask you, is a sick body that you're suffering with love? I don't think so. I don't think so. Nook was talking in her blog about how she came to realize that she feared all of her power, that if she were healed and she accepted the atonement for herself and she accepted the miracle, that she feared her own power as part of God. And I can say that that's been my experience as well. I know that I've kept myself little, that this illness, I've done what chapter 8, section 8 says, is I've let this image of an illness be a perception of my littleness. I have been afraid, and I feel it. I'm aware of it. I've been afraid to own God's love, to really come into God's love, to come into all this power. It feels much safer for me to be little and to be sick. And there's a line in lesson 136 about sickness is a defense against the truth that says, now are you sick that truth may go away and threaten your establishments no more. We make up sicknesses to push away truth, to push away love, to push away God. And we need to wrap up here. And I am here every Wednesday night at 9 p.m. on Blog Talk Radio, Breaking Free with psychotherapist Lori Coburn. If you have any questions, please go to my website, www.loricoburn.com, LORRICOBURN.com. And thank you for joining in. Good night.